Tom Swarbrick on LBC.
10 to 6 the time, Friday evening, Tom Swarbrick on LBC. You know the drill. Sit down, shut up. Here's Simon Mark's American Week.
Tom, if there was one thing that American voters thought they knew about Donald Trump, it was that when he returned to the White House, he would be a safe hand on the tiller of America's economy. But week 8 of Trump's second term in office has put paid to all of that.
Tonight, breaking news as we come on the air, the stock market plunges again.
All three major American stock markets have closed down for the day after President Trump took questions about tariffs going into effect tomorrow against Mexico and Canada.
Today's sell-off pushing the S&P 500 to close below its 200-day moving average for the first time since November of 2023.
ABC, CBS and CNBC there covering the market meltdown that completely erased all the gains that corporate America notched up after Trump was elected and returned to office. And as you heard there, every time the president opened his mouth this week, he only caused further turmoil, which is remarkable given how easy it should have been to soothe the markets. You can say to traders, I feel your pain, I understand your concerns, I'm going to address them, or you can just double down.
I'm not even looking at the market because long term, the United States will be very strong with what's happening here.
Not even looking at the market because he was too busy yo-yoing all week over his tariffs. The trade war with Canada was on again, off. The business networks here giving an open mic to Doug Ford, the Premier of Ontario, who stood up to Trump.
President Trump decided to have an unprovoked attack on our country, and it's unacceptable.
So he threatened a 25% surcharge on electricity from Canada that literally keeps the lights on in New York, Minnesota, and Michigan.
If we go into a recession, it's self-made by one person. It's called President Trump's recession.
Now, any normal occupant of the White House, of course, would dismiss any notion that he might steer a previously thriving economy into recession. But not this president. Time and again this week, he indicated that he cannot guarantee the country will avoid a downturn, but that the pain of what his Treasury Secretary calls a detox from Joe Biden's addiction to public spending will eventually be worth the gain. Or, as the president put it last weekend on Air Force One,
we're going to take in hundreds of billions of dollars in tariffs, and we're going to become so rich, you're not going to know where to spend all that money. I'm telling you, you just watch.
Back on the ground, millions of Americans spent the week watching money evaporating from their retirement funds that are all wrapped up in the stock market, witnessing the threat of immediate price rises at the pumps and in their supermarkets due to the president's adoration of tariffs, and fretting that just maybe he doesn't know what he's doing. Trying to throw the president a lifeline this week, Maria Bartiromo, one of his most vocal supporters and an anchor on the Fox Business Channel. She gave him a chance to win back Wall Street.
CEOs want to see predictability. So can you give us a sense of whether or not we are going to get clarity for the business community?
Well, I think so. But, you know, the tariffs could go up as time goes by, and they may go up. And, you know, I don't know if it's predictability. I think
so. That's not clarity.
No, I think that they say that. You know, it sounds good to say. But for years, the globalists, the big globalists, have been ripping off the United States.
Oh, the big globalists, those shadowy figures from the outer reaches of the internet. They're the ones responsible, not the president, who can't decide whether he's really committed to his trade war or not. Over on CNBC, commentator Steve Leisman, who has been with the Business Channel for a quarter of a century, had seen enough.
I'm going to say this at risk of my job, Kelly, but what President Trump is doing is insane. It is absolutely insane. Now he's saying he's putting 50% tariffs on Canada unless they agree to become the 51st state. There are no bounds around President Trump. This is very different from the first administration.
Indeed it is. Not a guardrail in place, not a conflict of interest that is ever avoided. Which is why the president this week turned the White House grounds into a Tesla dealership and decided that he would buy one of Elon Musk's electric cars in a bid to help his de facto prime minister, whose Tesla empire has lost $330 billion in market value as a result result of the Wall Street sell-off.
I know he'd give me a discount, but honestly, I don't want to ask for one. You know, I'm president, so I want to pay full price.
Which is, of course, much easier to do when you've already bilked Mr. Musk out of $10 million to settle a lawsuit filed over Twitter's decision to throw the president off the social media platform before the richest man in the world acquired it and brought Donald Trump back onto it. Musk had a rough week. Tesla dealerships all over the country were attacked. Charging stations were burnt to the ground. Tesla cars were defaced with swastikas over his unrestrained role firing hundreds of thousands of civil servants, especially those with the power to regulate his own industries. In an interview on Fox with Larry Kudlow, who served as Trump's chief economic advisor in his first term, Musk became emotional as he was asked what's driving him.
You're hearing a call to action.
Yeah.
You giving up your other stuff? I mean, how are you running your other businesses?
With great difficulty. Yeah, I mean.
But there's no turning back, you're saying.
I'm just here trying to make government more efficient.
Big sighs there. Odd for a man whose role in government continues to underpin federal contracts that are worth more than $18 billion for his SpaceX company alone. Trump, goaded as he so often is now by polemicists working for propaganda TV outlets, upped the ante over the Tesla attacks.
Mr. President, you talked about some of the violence that's been going on around the country at dealerships. Some say they should be labeled domestic terrorists because...
I'll do it. I'm going to stop them. We catch anybody doing it because they're harming a great American company.
And just a reminder, when you see reporters asking the president a question, because of the restrictions that the White House has imposed on which news organizations now attend presidential events, often they are not journalists. They are propagandists working for a wide array of far-right websites and streaming networks. We witnessed it yesterday when NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte was visiting the White House.
What is your vision for the potential annexation of Greenland and getting them potentially...
I think it'll happen, and I'm just thinking, I didn't give it much thought before, but I'm sitting with a man that could be very instrumental. You know, Mark, we need that for international security, not just security, international.
We do not know whether those questions are planted or whether the president simply knows that pliant media will ask questions designed to burnish him rather than challenge him. But it is happening all the time as major news organizations get shut out from his immediate orbit. Trump this morning said his special envoy, Steve Witkoff, had very good and productive discussions with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Moscow last night. But the Russian leader has made it clear he's not interested in a 30-day ceasefire unless it completely ties Ukraine's hands. We've never been this close to peace, said the White House press secretary this morning, and yet it still feels like there is a very long path ahead. In New York yesterday, Trump Tower was the focus of furious protests demanding the release of Mahmoud Khalil, a leader of student demonstrations critical of Israel and U.S. support for it on the campus of Columbia University last year.
Mahmoud Khalil, who was given the privilege of coming to this country to study at one of our nation's finest universities, and he took advantage of that opportunity, of that privilege, by siding with terrorists.
And yet, White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt could not explain why Khalil, a green card holder and therefore a permanent legal resident of the U.S., enjoying full free speech protections under the U.S. Constitution, was dragged off a New York street last Saturday and then transported to a detention facility more than 1,000 miles away in Louisiana. It took his lawyer 48 hours just to find him. Khalil has been charged with no crime, but Secretary of State Marco Rubio says he's going to revoke the green card that allows him to live in the United States simply because he engaged in acts of protest on university campuses.
He's in jail because of his political speech.
Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut, one of the last prominent Democrats on Capitol Hill, still exhibiting a pulse.
Once it becomes normal for the regime to disappear people simply for protest against the regime's policies. Once a citizen or a resident of America can be locked away with no charges against them simply because they protested, there is no going back for America.
The White House says many more arrests are expected, and as a green card holder myself, I can only wonder at just how far this administration will take things when it encounters people expressing views with which it disagrees. We're going to leave the last word this week with former Canadian Prime Minister Jean Chrétien, now 91, and this week succinctly taking President Trump to the woodshed.
From one old guy to another old guy. Stop this nonsense.
It's a cracking speech, that one. You can find the whole thing online. The nonsense, however, will continue. With lives at stake here in Ukraine, the future of the transatlantic alliance hanging in the balance, and Tom, a president now trampling over the Constitution's protections and waiting to see if anyone is going to stop him.
From Washington, D.C., Simon Marks, American Week.